Live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
And welcome to the Tech Ranch, everybody, on a nice Veterans Day. And have you ever had, have you ever made a phone call to a local business and visited with somebody in India? I bet you've ordered something through a drive-thru. A trend that seems to be gaining some traction across the country is telecommuting, and basically, that means that you're working from home. Richard Maurer from the BMDA is our in-studio guest, and we will be discussing how you may be able to bring your job home. What is especially interesting is if you live in an area that is economically depressed, how this technology can land you a great job without even moving. We're also going to be talking about popular gadgets of 2012. Jim and I will be going over the top 10 list. Actually, I have a few more than that for this year. And at the control panel today is producer extraordinaire of the Tech Ranch, Jim Walsh. Jim, how are you doing?
Not too.
That's right. Clear the frogs out.
Yeah. Coughed up a major organ there. Not too shabby. It was kind of a weird weekend.
It was a weird weekend. We had pretty much every weather you can think of outside of volcanic ash thrown at us here in North Dakota this weekend.
And we got about, 6 inches of the white stuff?
Well, you know, I've heard varying reports, 6, 10 inches. Some areas had 15. Of course, we had a half inch of freezing rain before that. So really made for an interesting weekend. But here we are.
Yeah, so, got my boots on.
That's right.
So winter booties, stompers.
Is that a new gadget for you, winter booties?
It's a rare gadget. Okay. It's something I try to avoid. They're just a pain in the neck to get on in the morning.
That is for sure.
Gotta bend over and... So if you know, my age, I bend over, I get internal bleeding. Come on.
We won't even go there.
No.
Yeah. Have you been eyeing any new gadgets at all this year?
Not really. My wife has one of those newfangled smartphones.
Okay.
And I'm going to get one of those just as soon as we have the time to sit down and actually do it.
So is she using a Droid or an iPhone? Or?
I think it's the next step up from the... I have a Droid.
Okay.
And this is like the next step up from that.
Okay. So she's really getting into the new technologies. That's cool. I kind of have a list here. And Richard, I guess we're just going to bring you in right away. I'm not going to introduce you formally yet, but how you doing today?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine as well. Have you been eyeing any gadgets at all this year?
You know, not really yet. We're not into the Christmas season yet. Let's get out of November before we start looking at what the gadgets are for the Christmas season
next year.
Okay. Well, I'm actually kind of talking personally. Have you had has anything that's come out recently that maybe you're intrigued about or?
No, I've been watching a lot of people use the iPhones and the updated technology, and that kind of intrigues me. And at some point, we may have to bite the bullet and move from the dark ages into the modern telecommunication systems.
Well, I'm going to bring up a few things, and we'll just kind of discuss these a little bit. Nike has what's called the Field Band. Have you seen this thing?
No.
This is absolutely amazing to me. It's Field Band, FuelBand. And since all three of us sitting here are fitness gurus, we figured that that we should talk about fitness a little bit. But this is kind of a band that goes around your hand, and it measures your activity. So if you're out for a walk or just taking out the garbage or whatever, it actually will monitor how many calories you've burned and whatever. And you can just wear this thing all day long. So I think that's kind of intriguing. Of course, there's an app with that too, so it syncs to your iPhone or your Droid or whatever, so you can keep track of it that way. So that's a Field Band, and I think that this is going to be kind of a big deal. No comments on that from the fitness gurus here?
Well, I like the idea of being able to know how many calories I'm burning.
Okay. So I guess that's a cool thing.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely
very, it's very lightweight, actually, and it just plug it into a USB port to charge it back up again, so it's pretty easy that way. The Pebble E-Ink watch. Have you two seen this thing at all?
It's a watch?
It's like a wristwatch? It's a wristwatch, yes. This was on Kickstarter, which I bet you Richard knows a little bit about Kickstarter, and he's giving me that blank look. Okay. Okay, it's a fundraising program that's online, so okay. We can talk about that a little bit. But they raised over $10 million in funding and became one of the most sought-after gadgets, and it's now available. And basically on this thing, it's a watch. It uses e-paper technology to display your calls, your texts, your emails on the watch screen. So this is like Dick Tracy type of stuff. There's also a Bluetooth headset that goes along with this. So if you want to make phone calls from your watch, you just put the Bluetooth headset on and make calls.
Yeah, I remember Dick Tracy with his two-way wrist TV.
That's right. That's right. There. That's exactly what this is. So that's very, very cool. Now, Richard, I know you have seen these. This one's called the MakerBot Replicator, but it's a 3D printer. You have seen these, correct?
You know what? No, I have not, Marlo. You're my tech guru. So.
Oh my goodness! You're going to be on the learning curve here.
Curve on all this.
Yes. Well, I figured that I think Evan Anderson here in the Bismarck area has one of these, and you literally can. I'm not sure if it's the MakerBot one, but as you can actually print this case. Literally, I'm showing everybody my cell phone case right now. You can actually print this. Just like you see it right here. It's a 3D imager, and what happens is the printhead goes back and forth with a product called, and I'll look in my notes here, it's called PLA, P-L-A. It's a plastic, liquid plastic is what it is, and it dries, and it might take like a half a day to print this, but then you have a working replica of a piece of plastic. I mean, you can take that cup that you're drinking out of there, Jim,
and
create that. It's just absolutely amazing.
Like a Star Trek. Hey,
it's a little slower than that. It takes a little bit of time to replicate things, and you can't eat
than
it.
The Star Trek replicator.
Yes, but that's kind of that's an interesting analogy that you have there.
Gee, Earl Grey, hot.
What's really cool about this is that at one time these printers were absolutely amazingly expensive, but you can get the MakerBot replicator for $1,800 now. So if you're wanting to get into that area of replicating things, that's pretty cool. The new iPad, of course, has to be on the list simply because of the popularity. And there's some minor upgrades to the old iPad, of course, but people will... if I didn't have that on the list, I would be shot, so I have to put that on there.
I do have to jump in, Marlo. Yes. My wife and I did bite the bullet and get the new iPad.
Oh, what do you think of it?
We've been moving the last weekend, so it's in a box sitting on the kitchen table somewhere, and so it will get plugged in
Very
and
cool.
used in the next couple months
Well, it's exciting. I'll be interested to hear. Maybe next time we have you on the show, we'll talk about your experiences with the new iPad. The HTC One Series phone, which I can't believe is what I actually use, is one of the new gadgets that is one of the hottest gadgets in the country right now. It's a Droid phone. I did not buy my phone thinking that I would have one of the hottest things, that I bought it the first day it came out, but the gadget guru that I am. The MacBook Pro with the Retina display is another hot item this year. The Samsung Galaxy S3. I'm boring everybody now. I can see that already. We're going to get into more of the exciting
retina
stuff.
The display. How does that work? Is that one of those things that scans your eyes?
That's correct.
Oh.
For identification. So if you lose your iPad, for example, or your Mac or whatever, you can actually have security protocols set up that'll scan that. Yep.
Yeah, because everybody's eye pattern is different.
That's
supposedly.
Correct. That's correct, yeah. I mean, there are... security devices out there that will, do your thumbprint or whatever. And I'm for the life of me, I cannot remember the terminology for that right now.
Biometrics.
What's that?
Biometrics.
That's right. See? Look at this.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good, Richard. Yes. And there's some devices out there, but they tend to be a little slow when you put your thumb down on there. It takes a little bit of time for that. The retina scan seems to be a little bit faster. So some very cool gadgets out there. I think this is amazing. And I know I've talked about the Roku before, but 3M has a streaming projector. This is $300, and it's just a little projector. I mean, when I say little, I'm talking the size of my phone here, just a little bit bigger than this. And it has a Roku built into it. So if you want all those Roku channels, you can actually just bring this along with you. You have a wall or a screen that you can project against. Very, very cool thing. The Amazon Kindle, the Paperwhite version, I think is very cool. Either of you have a Kindle?
We do
no,
have a
not
Kindle.
Yet.
So yes and a no. Okay.
Maybe Christmas.
So you have one, Richard?
Yeah, my stepdaughter has one
okay.
that we use for her.
Okay.
It seems to work pretty well.
She likes it?
Yeah, I think she does.
Okay, very cool. I think it's amazing how we've gone from a culture of reading books, and people still read books. I'm a book reader myself, but I find it interesting that you can carry thousands and thousands of books with you in this little handheld device.
Yes.
So that's very, very cool. And I think it'll have a dramatic impact on our schools in the future.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking about, because I have another year of school to go.
Yes, and you're seeing more and more of that. The iPads in schools, for example, more and more schools are getting into that, and
right.
They just put their books on their iPads, and you don't have this huge backpack you're carrying around with all your books. And the cost, you have the initial cost of the iPad, but the cost of the electronic version of the book is dramatically less, so it actually saves schools money in the long term by going that route. So
it saves the students and the schools.
Yes.
They are kind of hard to highlight, though.
They are.
But
they actually have a highlighting thing built into them. You can bring your finger over the top of it and highlight, and you can actually bring your highlighted notes back to the front. So anything that you've highlighted, it's actually an easy search when you do that. So it's very cool. The Logitech Harmony 650. This is a universal remote. And it's unlike any universal remote you've ever seen. It'll actually sync all of your remotes, of course. It's PC and Mac programmable. So you actually plug it into your PC or Mac, and it'll program it so that you can, it's very, very easy to do. And I'm very impressed. I have one of these myself, and I think it's very impressive. So we're running out of time here, so I'm going to be very, very quick. The Panasonic ErgoFit RP. This is the best ultra-cheap headphones that you can find for under $10.
Whoa.
Yes. So if you're looking for a very, very good set of ultra-cheap headphones, the Panasonic ErgoFit RP series is what you want. And, of course, I have to bring this up again, the Roku. ROKU is the hottest streaming media box out there right now. They've sold almost 10 million of these this year already. Something that if you want an alternative to watching regular cable TV or whatever, it's an on-demand type of thing, and it's got over 500 channels on it, including this program.
This program.
This program, which is now, I have to bring this up too, is now part of the Tech Podcast Network, Jim. So congratulations on that for getting us involved with that. Yeah, that's right. So we are being carried across many, many networks now, and one of those networks is on the Roku.
Serving the universe.
That's right. One person at a time. So that's right. All right, Jim, I think it's time for a break. And after the break, everybody, we will have Richard Maurer from BMDA, and we're going to be talking about telecommuting. So come on back, everybody.
Everybody. Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
At facebook.com/thetechranch or Twitter at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
Thank you, Mia, and welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. In our studio this morning, we have Richard Maurer. Richard has been the Vice President of Special Projects for the Bismarck-Mandan Development Association since December of 2003, and prior to that date, he served in Colorado as Vice President of the Broomfield Economic Development Corporation. Needless to say, Richard has an extensive resume of economic development, and I won't get into all of his credentials here, but I just want to welcome you to the show, Richard. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Marlo, and it's actually Director of Special Projects. We retitled everything in the organization,
okay.
So the current job title is Director of Special Projects.
Very cool, very cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what BMDA does before we get into the technology side of things?
Absolutely. The Bismarck-Mandan Development Association is a public-private partnership that focuses on the attraction, retention, and expansion of employers within the community. We focus on keeping those jobs that we have in the community and attracting new ones and helping our existing businesses expand as they're looking to add new products and services to their portfolios.
And of course, in the Bismarck-Mandan area, you have been you've had a very prominent key role in developing a lot of the different things that are going on around here. We've been very blessed with energy technology or energy in our area, but there's a lot of residual things that happen because of that too. And I think that's probably where you're strongest, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's probably where you like to develop your areas.
You know, organizationally, when you look at the Bismarck-Mandan area, we've been very blessed being the center of state government, being the regional medical center for western North Dakota, northern South Dakota, and Montana. We've had a highly diversified economy. BMDA has played a role with attracting some of our major employers into the area and helping them expand and grow over the years. So as you look at it from the macro level, our job is to keep making sure that we are able to provide jobs for our residents, because quality of life begins with individuals having a good job. And the boom in the oil and gas industry has added in kind of that is the goose that's laying the golden egg for not just western North Dakota, but the whole state of North Dakota. And it's leading the nation towards energy independence. So we're able to do a whole bunch of stuff as a region that has actual international implications. So it's kind of an exciting time in our part of the country. We're not quite to the level of oil production as Texas, who's doing about 2 million barrels a day. We're at about 701,000 barrels a day. But we're working slowly, everyone's working slowly trying to catch up with our friends in Texas.
Sure. And I don't know if that'll ever happen, but it's a fun competition. There's no doubt about that. So,
well, you know, you think about it, 9 years ago when I moved back to the state from the Colorado market, we were somewhere around 14th in oil production.
Right.
And slowly over the years, we've been able to whittle away at those who are ahead of us. And now, you know, we're number two in the nation in oil production.
Right. And, of course, Texas also has its own economic boom going on, probably not to the extent that North Dakota does. But they are, of course, because of energy, doing fairly well as well.
Absolutely. So, yep. Texas is one of those shining examples and gems in the country where,
yep,
you know, with the Eagle Ford and the Marcellus shale formation, they've had the same type of exploration and increase in production that we've been fortunate to see up in this part of the country.
Now, the reason I brought this up, you know, I know we're not an economic development show, but we have a lot of people that listen to the show across the country, and they're thinking about how do I get involved in maybe the economic prosperity of these different parts of the country. And maybe they're not real excited about moving, but there's still ways that people that live outside of the area can be involved in this, and one of those is called telecommuting. And why don't you explain a little bit about what telecommuting is and the roles, you know, maybe not so much in the oil industry, because I know you don't have a lot of experience with telecommuting there because they handle that on a company basis. But we have companies that you've worked with that have employees that do not work in those facilities, correct?
Absolutely. When you look at our major employers in town, there's a whole bunch of them that would have to add a tremendous amount of expensive infrastructure and building space if they were to house all of their employees within the physical confines of their locations. One of the things that caught me off guard when I first moved back to the state and started working in this market was every time I flew somewhere, I would talk to the person sitting next to me. Yeah, I'm one of those people. And I would ask them questions about what they do and what they're doing on the plane. And I was surprised at the number of regional sales type people that base out of the Bismarck, Mandan, Burley, and Morton County area, serving a territory in western North Dakota, but they actually office out of their home. And, you know, that got me thinking about the telecommunication infrastructure that we have here. And I was really surprised with what I found when I came out of a major tech hub of one of the northern suburbs in Denver. We were the home of Sun Level 3, and it was just a really high-tech area. But in my house in Colorado, I couldn't get DSL to the house because it was too far from the central office. So we're talking 9 years ago, so technologies have changed. They've expanded those distances. But coming back into North Dakota, Heber, North Dakota had DSL. I couldn't get that in a metro Denver suburb.
Right.
And so that surprised me. So when you take that and you look at the ability of people to work from their homes rather than go to their day-to-day or their job location, it provides some flexibility so that folks, especially those who are working in international markets where they have to hit either Europe or the Pacific Rim, are able to do that conveniently from a home office location.
So what kind of jobs have you noticed that are really part of the telecommuting industry? I mean, are there specific type of industries that really work well with telecommuting?
Well, you know, you look at the high-tech industries, software programmers. You know, it doesn't matter whether where a software programmer is located. You know, they're able to ship their product to wherever they need to go.
Which, of course, you're picking on me directly there because, well, you know, we have a few employees ourselves. That's exactly. And we've been doing this successfully for about 6 years now. We have a few employees that work for us that are not in our office. In fact, I had one gentleman that worked in our office for 2 weeks and came up to me afterwards and said, after work one day and said, would you mind if I work from my home? Because I can't concentrate here, which if you've ever been in our office, which I think you have, it's kind of a crazy place all the time. So I can understand that. And it's been a great relationship because he certainly gets a lot more work accomplished not having the craziness of a busy office, you know, surrounding him all the time. So there are advantages to this.
Well, and then you look at the other companies, the on the service side. You look at Aetna, you look at Coventry, our local software company, NISC, National Information Solutions. Those guys, they have workers that are working in telecommunication from home. And, you know, it's one of those where you're dealing with a set number of customers, and where your seat is doesn't really matter. You're able to log into the system and be able to access all of the information you need from your computer as well as your telephone communication system.
It's absolutely amazing, and I know that even if you're going through a fast food restaurant sometimes, the person that's taking your order may not even be in the restaurant, correct?
Correct.
They might be sitting at a home at home someplace, you know, taking the order. And this happened to me a couple times where I'll have one person take the order and then another person come on and tell me what my total is. And I'm like, how did this happen? Well, what has happened is that screen is shifted to somebody else and they come up and tell you the order. So there are amazing amount of opportunities in telecommuting.
Oh, absolutely. And you think about you call an 800 number for customer service. Does it matter to you that that person is sitting in a call center in Bangalore, India, or whether they're sitting in a call center in Bismarck, North Dakota, or any other community? You're just wanting to have your issue dealt with
right.
professionally,
right.
on time. As a customer, you don't really care where they're sitting. So with using the telecommunication system, you're able to, you know, deal with and provide those services for those customers without, you know, the expense of having them centrally located.
So are there any other industries or any other type of jobs besides the service side that work well with telecommuting?
Software development is one of them.
Okay.
You know, of course. I come from a family where a former sister-in-law of mine was an accountant for a Fortune 500 company, and she based out of a home office and served a territory. So sales-type positions are good examples, as well as those who are providing business services.
Okay. Well, very good, Richard. After the break, everybody, we will continue our conversation with Richard Maurer from BMDA about telecommuting. So come on back, everybody.
Listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
And remember, everybody, that we are also part of the Tech Podcast Network. So if you want to catch the show later on, you can stream us on the Roku, on Boxy, on Google TV, on iTunes, all kinds of cool things. We're very excited to be part of the Tech Podcast Network. And welcome back to the show, everybody. And Richard, we were just talking a little bit about telecommuting, and I'm going to throw some job descriptions at you, and we'll talk a little bit in depth about these particular type of industries. So you've already alluded to the IT professionals. So besides software development, is there anything else in that area that you can see where people would telecommute?
You know, the applications are across the board. It's one of those things where if you have the ability to telecommunicate, you don't need to have them come into the office unless they're interacting with customers on a personal basis in professional.
I know one of the things that we do a lot is remote computer repair. So I think that, you know, if somebody who is that, that would be one way that a person could actually, you know, it's kind of a, I wouldn't call it telecommuting, I guess, but it would be kind of in that range of where a person wouldn't have to leave the office or the home to actually repair computers and that type of thing, too. So analysts, programmers, web developers, help desk staff. I think help desk is going to be a big, big deal in the future with telecommuting. I know with our own personal company, the ability to have what are called soft phones. Are you familiar with that term, soft phones?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, for those who are listening, soft phone is a phone where it's actually hooked up to your computer. And, of course, the call comes in. You can see the customer's history and all that type of thing, and you can answer the call right while you're there. Well, those type of situations can be done literally anywhere in the world, correct?
Absolutely.
So, okay. you can elaborate on these a little bit, okay. You know. Okay.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I need to actually stop talking and let you talk a little bit about this stuff. Translation and interpretation. Have you run across any type of translation types of opportunities?
You know, I haven't personally, but you look at Unisys Corporation here in their facility in Bismarck, and they actually service North and South America out of,
okay.
For accounts payable out of their Bismarck location. And so you have multiple languages that are spoke on campus there. To be able to access a translator is one of those things, depending on where you are in the country. There are certain languages that will be in higher concentrations in certain areas, for example, Spanish in Florida or any of the southern tier states.
But yep.
If you need somebody to translate Azerbaijani or one of the other languages that are not prevalent in our region, where do you find that talent?
And this would be, I really do believe that, you know, translation could be a very, very big deal as far as telecommuting goes, because if a person, and the reason I'm just bringing these things up is that people may have job skills that they're not using on a daily basis, but if they speak another language fluently and they're living in an area maybe that is economically depressed or whatever, there are parts of this country that are doing very, very well, and they need these talents. And this would be a way for you to, not that we don't want you to move to North Dakota or to Texas or whatever, but if you're happy with where you're living, this could be a job opportunity for you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Many years ago when I was in Colorado before I got into economic development, I spent about 6 weeks working for a call center. And one of the calls I took in my extensive three-week live action on the floor was a call in Spanish that I was able to actually help one of my coworkers resolve an issue with this person's daughter's subscription to 17 magazine. They were calling from somewhere in Colombia, and I actually got in trouble because I stepped across the aisle and spoke to the individual in Spanish and was able to resolve the issue that they were having with their subscription. And so, you know, it's one of those things. You never know when you're going to need that ability, but at some point you're going to have some translation services done. We're working with some Korean companies, and we actually took our media that we use and put together a Korean version so that when our CEO went over and met with the CEO of this company, he was able to hand them our marketing materials translated into Korean.
And there's no doubt that our world becomes a smaller place because of the internet and the ease of travel that we have now compared to, you know, days gone by. So translation services, I think, is a growing industry. And if you speak another language, this is certainly an opportunity for you to get into that. Sales personnel and consultants. Any experience in that as far as telecommuting?
You know, not directly. But again, it's one of those areas, if you're working in sales, where you're actually sitting doing your job doesn't really matter. It's more about your contacts. It's more about the shoe leather that you're burning out on the street selling that product.
Okay. Public relations managers, marketing specialists. I guess this kind of falls in the same areas as sales personnel and consultants, but the marketing specialist side of things. You know, for example, we use somebody in Lake Havasu City for our company in a telecommuting type of role there, and I think it works marvelous.
Well, I know in the economic development field, there's a lot of folks that after they left communities and they've put their time in the trenches, they often transition and become consultants, and they'll work on projects that are around the United States and based out of their home. and they're able to work in Florida today, Texas tomorrow, Illinois the next day, and but they're able to do that from the comfort and safety of their own home.
Right, right. Of course, we talked about software developers, so we won't get into that too much more. I'd like to have you elaborate a little bit more on the call center side of things, because we do have some of those in our local area. So talk a little bit about how that works. And let's say you live, you know, we have a lot of rural people around us here as well that work for these companies. So how does that work?
You know, it's my understanding that when you look at some of our major employers in town, that there are over 20 communities, probably pushing towards 30 communities, where people are telecommuting from their home. And they're able to, once they build up seniority and build up their experience, instead of making the drive into the office, they're able to work from home and save that commute time of an hour, of 45 minutes, or an hour and a half, whatever the typical drive time is. They're able to put that into more productive use than behind the steering wheel of a car. And so the efficiencies that are gained by allowing those workers to work at home, you're increasing productivity because there's not downtime for the time to drive to work. They're able to actually cover more of the work with less time.
So does the company typically install the equipment that they need for the person to telecommute, or how, or is there an investment sometimes on, you know, a personal level for this, or how does that work?
Different companies handle it in different ways. One company that I know of, they actually send their ergonomic people in to make sure that the home office meets the same standards as their physical plant. But they want to make sure that people are safe working in their environment. They'll often bring in the computer equipment, and the telecommunication equipment that they need so that they can do their job. Other companies, people will make the investments themselves, and then they just expense it through their taxes.
Okay.
And recoup their money that way.
So basically, as long as you have a broadband internet connection, you don't want to be doing this on some type of dial-up situation, but I'm thinking DSL or better, you're usually okay to do these type of jobs?
Yeah, you don't want to be doing this at 56K.
Okay.
On dial-up.
Absolutely.
Those of us who are a little older still remember those days.
Yep, yep, oh, yeah. Healthcare. Now, I think this is probably the fastest growing area of telecommuting. And are you familiar with any healthcare positions?
You know, when you look at stuff like medical transcriptionist, there's a good example of a job that can be done from anywhere. The insurance side of it, dealing with the insurance companies, dealing with the accounts payable, accounts receivable, where you're moving ones and zeros around on a piece of paper, you know, that's all stuff that can be done from a remote location.
Now, I'm just reading through my notes here. Subcategories in healthcare right now are in nursing, believe it or not, pharmaceutical, case management, therapy, medical coding, nutrition, and psychiatry. I can see where that would be a very, very big deal. And especially in an area, you know, what I'm thinking here is that if you have a small rural clinic and you can't offer all of these services, that if you have, if you're a nutrition specialist, for example, you can telecommute somebody into that small rural community, to that small clinic, and have those services available.
Well, and you look at the healthcare systems where they're developing the relationship with, say, Mayo Clinic or, you know, the big clinics. You can bring those actual experts into those smaller markets and get referrals online through telemedicine and have access to world-class care without leaving your small clinic.
Yeah, very, very, very fascinating. All right, Richard, we're going to go to a break. So after the break, everybody, we will continue our conversation with Richard Maurer from BMDA about telecommuting. And we'll probably talk a little bit about how, if you're a company owner or manager, how you can bring these services to your company. Come on back, everybody.
You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast. Available online at supertalk1270.com.
Local expert that can help.
Hi, I'm Randy, owner of Comfort Zone Heating and Air, reminding you that it's important this time of year to check your furnace before the real cold hits. Be sure to replace your air filter and blower belt. Service the humidifier if there is one. If you have any questions or concerns,
everywhere he goes, post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
Thank you, Mia, and welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. During the break, Jim and I, and Richard and I, we were talking a little bit, and Jim has some stories to talk about the radio industry and telecommuting. So why don't you share those with us, Jim?
Well, the technology has been there for a long time in some version, in some primitive form. It was available as far back as the 1970s. And there was a disc jockey in, I think, San Francisco. His name was Don Rose, Dr. Don Rose.
Okay.
A very legendary figure in the industry. He was an incredible communicator, but he had a whole series of health problems. And at one point, he was actually doing his show daily from a hospital bed for several months at a time.
Interesting.
And the technology was there just as it is today. It just didn't become economical until the last 10 years or so.
Okay.
But I know, I have a friend in Baltimore. He loves Baltimore. He was born and raised there, but he does shows all over the country from his house.
Sure.
So it's not unheard of.
Yep. Very, very cool. So another possibility there, of course, that if you wanted to get into the radio world of things, that a person could start doing their own shows, kind of like what we're doing here.
Well, it's like we were talking about the old joke about the airport that they put out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Because it's just a hub. It's just a connection to everywhere else.
Yep.
Well, you can live anywhere you want now. And if you're in radio, you can make arrangements to do a show in New York or Minneapolis or whatever.
Yep.
And have the best of both worlds.
Exactly. So we're going to move into education now, Richard. And this, I think, is probably one of the another very, very large growth area, simply because if you're just like Jim was saying, you can be in the middle of nowhere and teach specialized classes. All right, go ahead.
You know, this is an exciting topic when you look at Bismarck State College and what they're doing with their extended education.
Exactly.
Systems.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to be in those towns where the colleges are to access the programs.
Yep.
You look at their energy generation program and, you know, the 14, 15,000 students they have around the country who are accessing that program at any given time. You look at the services that BSE provides to our armed forces with providing educational opportunities. There is a growth opportunity there for our universities to provide that training. And, of course, it's going to be a competitive market because everybody's realizing that they can gain students without having to add infrastructure.
Right.
And that's the key part of it, where you can train more without having to build the physical plant to have seats for those backsides on your campus.
Now, Jim, are you, you know, I know you're going to school right now, too.
I'm getting my degree from Minot State.
Okay.
But I've been to Minot once in the last 2 years.
Okay.
It's all done online.
Okay.
I mean, I have an advisor here in town.
Okay.
They have an arrangement through Bismarck State, and the advisor is over there on the Bismarck campus.
Okay.
And I go in and see her about 2-3 times a year. We schedule the classes, and then I go from there.
Okay. So if you have a teaching degree of or a specialty even, you know, there, I think, are going to be many, many opportunities in the future if you wanted to tell your story or share your experiences or whatever with people who want to hear these things. So, and you can elaborate.
Yeah, it's already happening.
Yep. So, okay. Administrative managers, support personnel is the last thing on my list, Richard. Any stories in that area as far as telecommuting goes?
You know, not that I can actually have been involved with.
Yeah, I don't think that probably is a big deal around here. But the one thing which I find interesting on this list is bank tellers. So I'm not sure. I haven't seen a bank that has done this yet, but obviously there are some bank tellers out there through the means of maybe some type of ATM type of situation where they can do where you're actually talking to somebody and doing some type of bank transaction without actually having somebody behind the window or something.
Well, you can see it going that direction because one teller would be able to handle a couple different machines at different times.
Yes.
And you're able to leverage time and efficiency by having the machines do the bulk of the repetitive process.
Right. So I find that interesting. I just have not seen that yet. So now if a company wants to start off or you know, I'm going to back up a little bit here. If a company wanted to maybe increase their workforce without building new infrastructure like you were talking about, how would they go about building a telecommuting force?
You know, one of the things they'd want to do is bring in a consultant or expert in setting up their systems and getting their processes in place so that they deal with the HR portion of it and make sure that everything they're doing is a best practice versus just kind of throw someone in a garage somewhere and say, hey, go to work.
Right. So in a telecommuting type of position, like the companies that you work with in the Bismarck-Mandan area, are they a contract employee? Are they an actual employee of the company? How are they doing that?
You know, the cases that I'm familiar with are actual employees, but they're required to work on site for a period of time until they learn all of the processes and they're
okay.
Up 100% on the skills that they need for their job. And then at a certain point when they reach certain seniority levels, then they're provided the opportunity to go off and work. You know, things that you and I have talked about in the past was putting small call center operations into a community. And as we talked to some of the managers, senior managers, you know, if you put a small call center into a small town, well, you might get five people working there. But as soon as you get five people working in one location, you now have to have a manager there because people are interacting more
right.
than if they're working in their basement, they're not stopping at the coffee pot and talking about the game last night. And so some of your management issues are different having a group of people or with group dynamics versus individuals working in single locations.
So does the rate of pay differ if you're working at home compared to if you're going into an office location? What's your experience there?
You know, as far as I understand, the rates of pay are the same, whether you're working from a home office or whether you're working from a desk in the facility.
So you found basically that as soon as they get to that level of seniority or whatever, that it's kind of a privilege that if you wanted to have that opportunity to work at your home, you could do that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But, you know, for the workers, say someone's driving in from Dickinson, North Dakota, which is about 90 miles or 100 miles west of us, you know, you've got the expense of gas at $4 or $3.50, whatever it's at today. You've got the investment of time going to and from. So there are benefits, financial benefits and time benefits that are occurred by not having to make that commute in to the office each day.
And I'm going to guess that there are probably some financial benefits to companies as well over the long haul. There might be a little bit of an investment immediately, but the fact that you're not providing an office or an office structure for an employee is certainly beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. There's some upfront cost, but when you look at it over the life expectancy of having to build a new building to house those employees, when you amortize that over the course of that building, you know, that $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000, whatever that dollar number up front, is actually fairly inexpensive compared to the cost of capital construction.
So have you ever talked to anybody who telecommutes, and what do they think about it?
You know, it's not for everybody. I have friends that I play hockey with and against who are telecommuting. Some of them love it, some of it hate it. It all depends on your personality. Those who are more social like to be in a group setting. Those who are more introverted and just want to focus on their job like the solitude of working from their own home.
I visited with a good friend of mine just the other day that just exactly what you're talking about, moved up the ranks, so to speak, at one of our companies here. And I was offered the opportunity to work at home, lives about 50 miles out of town, took advantage of that, and she absolutely loves it. You know, I would say she's a very social person, but I think the cost factor of not driving back and forth, along with the time element of, you know, taking a couple, 3 hours a day with the commute and everything else that goes along with that, was a big deal. I'm just thinking about her a little bit. She probably is literally sitting there in her pajamas in the morning working, you know, and that's one of the wonderful benefits of it.
Well, you know, you look at the time factor. What can you do with 3 more hours per day? What would you be able to accomplish at home? What would you be able to accomplish with your kids or wherever you spend your time in your non-working hours? That extra 2 hours, 3 hours over the course of the week adds up to some serious time.
Very serious time. So I can see a lot of benefits to it. And again, I know we're coming up to the end of the show here. For those of you who are interested you know, Richard, I'm sure that if there are people that are interested in maybe telecommuting in the area or whatever, do you have a contact number or something that we can throw out there maybe?
And actually, the best thing you do is if you're interested about finding out information about our market here in the Bismarck, Mandan, Burley, and Morton County, go to our website, www.bmda.org.
Okay. And you have contact information there, of course.
Absolutely.
I think anybody who's listening to us, if you're interested in some type of job, telecommuting wise or whatever, I think it'd behoove you to take a look at that, and maybe at the state of North Dakota and other parts of the country, you know, that you know are doing well. I know we're picking on Texas a little bit, but there are other pockets in the country, of course, that are doing well as well. So.
Absolutely. The job service website's another great resource that's out there.
Very good idea. So, all right, Richard, we really appreciate having you on the show today. And come on back next week, everybody. We will have, I can't even remember who our guest is next week, but I'll take a look at that. Hop to the website at thetechranch.com. Come on back, everybody.
You've been listening to The Tech Ranch, live and local on Super Talk 1270. Keep ahead of the trends. Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. to The Tech Ranch, exclusively here on Super Talk 1270 and online at supertalk1270.com.
Catch this and other podcasts of Super Talk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com. Accurate news.